98FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Now, we're just 2 weeks away from the All-Ireland football final between Dublin and Kerry, also at Croker. Last weekend, the Dubs turned on the style to beat Mayo in the semi-final, while Kerry beat Tyrone. I've been chatting to Dublin selector and one of Jim Gavin's right-hand men, Declan Darcy. I began by asking him about that amazing opening 12 minutes of the second half last weekend, in which the Dubs literally swept Mayo aside, despite being 2 points down at half-time.
It's kind of hard enough. We probably look at the game in totality, in fairness to how the guys operated, but they certainly got a golden spell after half time, and they got a little bit of oxygen. Obviously the Conn's goal was hugely important, and after that we kind of squeezed out a little bit of a lead for ourselves that gave us a bit of a blanket, which we were happy enough with. But again, from our context, it was only a period of the game. We would be looking at the whole game in totality as to what we could do better, and in that period of time definitely was a golden spell at that stage.
Yeah, 8 points to six down at half time. What is the Dublin dressing room like on a big day like that, when maybe the first half hasn't gone as planned in terms of the scoreline, and that period after half time, you know, was, as we mentioned, was so good?
Yeah, it's player led to a lot of degree. I suppose everybody's perception is that there was a hairdryer treatment at half time, Alex Ferguson type. But they need to execute. They need to, you know, they need to go through. They understand how they need to play and they need to keep concentrating on them parts of their game. And that's all, we just keep drawing their eyes to. We make a few tactical changes or suggest to them what's actually happening in the game that they can't see, and then give it back to the players, and then they reset themselves and do. Went out in the second half, and I'm not sure how that second half actually, because actually Mayo had chances in that 12 minute period as well, so it's a bit kind of to pick on that period of time is a really important part for us, but at the same time there was lots of plays throughout the game.
Yeah, having spoken to Jim directly after the match, and yourself, Declan, you've said it is player-led at half-time. What does that look like and feel like and sound like in the dressing room when they come in? You know, is it a case that they have a few minutes to have a drink, and then does Jim speak? Do you guys speak? Do the players speak first? Or how does it actually work?
Yeah, in general terms, they come in, as kind of always say to them, at half-time is the rest period, so get your rest and don't wind yourself up and get yourself back in your proper good headspace, and to get a little time to talk to themselves about how tactically it's working for them, and then we'd input some information back into them, then they have have another quick chat, and then out to go, and then they're kind of, it's a very short period of time, so it's not much time, you know. I think it's only 20 minutes we have, so by the time they're in and get adjusted, it's quite sharp. So you actually think it's longer than it is, but it's not. Yeah, but that's it. It's the players themselves talk about themselves and how they're feeling, so we can interact and get an understanding of what's going on in their heads as well. It's important.
Yeah, and I know we spoke at this time last year about your role on match day in comparison to Jim, and at the time Jason Sherlock and the other coaches as well. Would there be a period before you speak to the players as a coaching team that you guys would speak and decide exactly what message you want to pass to them at half time or full time or whatever?
In general, I'm certainly not my kind. I know there are other coaches. We don't say it unless we have to say it, and that's the key point. We don't say things unnecessarily, but we'll say it when it's required and what's required. We think best, and then that we give it back to the players and they can adjust. But it's there's never a rocket solution to any of these situations. We've been very lucky to be quite successful, so the tactics would be perceived to be working all the time because you're winning, and that can sometimes be a little bit it can be a bit clouded because the reality might not be that case. They might not be performing the way we would like to perform either, but it's an important piece that our communication with the players and how we interact with them is really, really important, but we have a good connection with the players, and I think you can see that in the field of play. There's a good trust going on between the two groups, so at the minute anyway it's all good.
And I suppose the fact that there's so many senior players in the group, like I was just doing some research on the players that we're going to interview, you know, on the media day today, and the amount of All-Irelands and league titles and club titles they all have, the experience in that group I'm sure is something that you guys will use, that they probably will know 90% of the stuff themselves without you guys having to say anything.
There's a lot of that, but it's just the game is evolving very, very quickly, so you can never stand still for 1 minute, even as a player or as a coach. You've got to always keep pushing on and striving and looking for things to get better, and I think all the players would say, particularly the more experienced players, that there's kind of complete transformation, even from season to season, even from the league as well to the championship. The tactical shift And the ability to play and adjust in the field of play is a remarkable. And, you know, you have to give great credit to all the players that are participating in the championship. It's a phenomenal standard of fitness, technical and tactical skills that they have as well. So there's huge challenges there, and it's just wonderful to watch. And it's just where I'm very lucky to be involved with this special team. So
if I was to write down Dublin versus Kerry on paper, what sort of things would come to your head about that fixture over the years and the fixture that we're going to have in this final?
I think it's the, I suppose as a kid, like for me, I was always, my biggest thing was watching the Kerry Dublin matches, the Kevin Moran's, the Jack O'Shea's. That's what inspired me to play football. And there is that little bit of traditional stuff for me personally, because I've had that, the team, them games in the 70s were fantastic. I was lucky enough to play in some of the Dublin Kerry games, and there's no denying it. There is a special connection when the teams meet because of that tradition. I'm not sure the younger lads here that would laugh at me at my age, but I'm not sure that they have that kind of traditional hold between the Dublin Kerry thing, but they all understand it's going to be a special occasion, and it's the biggest day of the year in sporting context for an Irish person. So we'll grab hold of it as best we can, and we'll make sure we do our very best for Dublin.
So does or will preparation change for this game, given it's a final and there's a long run into it, a couple of weeks?
Well, I think you get into a rhythm throughout the season, that when players come to these games, that the rhythm itself actually brings them to the game and gets them to perform, and actually not to stop and think about the context of this game. If they do, that's when things, distractions could come into their heads and they could not function the way they'd like to function. For everybody else and for the families and their clubs and who they represent, it's an absolute huge honour to be part of that biggest sporting day in Irish sport. So there's a big piece to that, but at the same time, they need to function and play a game of football. It's simple as that. It's you know, it's no different than they would have played when they were 13 or 14. Yes, there's a bigger surprise at the end of it, but still, it's a game of football, and they just want to get out and play.
Declan, lastly, five in a row. Is that something you'll talk about, mention, think about at all in the next couple of weeks before this final and the chance to make history?
Well, my biggest peeve was this, was just to be so privileged to be part of this group. That's it for me. Just the friendship within this group is massive, and I think that's something that needs to be acknowledged. And when it's all done and dusted, and I might be sitting in a bar still somewhere and looking back and laugh, I might start counting up what's happened and how things have manufactured itself. But at the minute, I'm just very privileged to be working with my fellow coaches, trying to lift the standards of coaching, trying to push the players on to be better in everything they do, and enjoying that journey. I think this year's journey has been fantastic. In that context, it's been great for us as coaches, myself and Jason particularly, and all the other coaches, helping the players to strive to get better, and the craveness of the players to want to get better is really, really impressive from this group. And that's the bit that I really love about being part of this team.
98 FM. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98 FM.